We miss Milton R. Hunter today. He was a great and able servant and a loyal friend. On behalf of President Dilworth Young and the First Council of the 70, I extend a hearty welcome to Elder Gene Cook as a member of the First Council. He comes well qualified, well trained, and with tremendous capacity. He loves the Lord. He knows the work and is completely dedicated. We are delighted, as we feel all of you are, with the announcement to organize the first quorum of the 70. We welcome wholeheartedly the first three members of this quorum, Elder Didier, Elder Bradford, and Elder Lee. These men are stalwarts, men of proven ability. They are great missionaries, and we look forward to the privilege of working with them. There is great power in faith. Faith is the moving cause of all action. The prophet Joseph said, "It was by faith that worlds were framed. God spake, chaos heard, and worlds came into order by reason of the faith there was in him." So with man also, he spake by faith in the name of God, and the sun stood still, and the moon obeyed, mountains removed, prisons fell. Had it not been for the faith which was in men, they might have spoken to the sun, the moon, the mountains, the prisons, in vain. Faith, then, is the first great governing principle which has power, dominion, and authority over all things. Without it, there is no power. And without power, there could be no creation nor existence. When a man works by faith, he works by mental exertion instead of physical force. It is by words instead of exerting his physical powers with which every being works when he works by faith. End quote. I believe there are basically two kinds of faith. The kind of which I have spoken, faith that God lives and rules in the heavens, sustains us in life's challenges. It enables us to endure without yielding and bear the trials common to us all. This faith has characterized the lives of this people all through their history. It is a great legacy to inherit and to bequeath. There is another kind of faith, more powerful, less known, infrequently observed. This faith in God compounds our ability to accomplish our righteous desires. It is the creative, generative kind of faith. This is the faith, save for the exercise of which, things would not happen. This is the great causative force in human lives. This is the faith that moves mountains. The scriptures teach that certain powers of heaven are governed by the faith of mortal man. The Lord's ability to help us succeed is limited only by our faith in him. For if there be no faith among the children of men, then God can do no miracle among them. Wherefore he showed not himself unto them until after their faith. Neither at any time have any wrought miracles until after their faith. Wherefore they first believed in the Son of God. Just as faith without works is dead, likewise works without faith are dead. We can cause righteous desires to come to pass. For in the words of our Master, according to your faith, be it unto you. The last 18 months I've watched this kind of faith cause things to happen. It began with the prophet. He spoke. His words put spiritual forces into action that heretofore had been dormant. People acted. They repented. They changed. Events changed. A prophet not only prophesies of things that will happen, a prophet by the exercise of faith causes things to happen. Let me tell you what has happened since the prophet spoke. He asked for more missionaries, and more came. They came from areas of the world where they have never come from before and in greater numbers. At first they came by ones and twos, then by scores, then hundreds, now by thousands. Hearts are touched. Lives are changed. Youth responds. Sacrifice increases. Parents weep for joy. A prophet is made glad. Usually people don't listen to statistics, but these are impressive. 18 months ago in Brazil, they had only 40 local Brazilian missionaries. Today they have over 100. Elsewhere in South America, Mexico, Asia, the islands of the sea, Europe, and other areas of the world, there is similar response. 18 months ago, in all of the missions of the world combined, there were 17,600 missionaries. At that time, our projections indicated we might possibly have as many as 19,000 by this year's end. Already, we have more than 21,000. By year's end, we will have more than 22,000. I'm reminded of what President Alan Oakes said to the BYU student body recently in the midst of a recital of some statistics. He inserted the observation that 2 out of 3 persons in the student body account for 2/3 of the students. And then he quipped, "I just threw that in to see if you were listening." I suppose that's not an entirely inappropriate question on a Friday afternoon just after lunch. I was quoting statistics. Let me tell you what really happens when missionaries serve. We had a neighbor boy who regularly passed our place headed for the mailbox, impatiently awaiting his letter of call. It seemed unusually long in coming after his recommendation was sent in. I observed this scene the day his letter came. He opened it at the mailbox, called his friend over, and they rejoiced together. Then he figuratively bounced down the lane to share the good news with his family. A few minutes later, his 16-year-old sister came strolling by, headed home. I merely mentioned in a greeting that her brother had received his mission call. She instantly changed her pace and ran all the way home to join in the excitement of her brother's call. Think of the anticipation, the joy that gladdens hundreds of homes and hundreds of hearts each week, for this is a family call. Not only does this service bless the homes from which missionaries come, it blesses lives where missionaries go. While we lived in South America, our eldest son reached the age to fill a mission. He was the first missionary to leave our little branch, composed mainly of converts. The closing prayer at his farewell was offered by one of the new converts. He expressed this thought: "Heavenly Father, we've seen missionaries come, and they have blessed our lives. Now we see that we must send missionaries. Help us to rear our sons to serve." That prayer of faith was answered. When that man's son was 19, he was called to go to Italy. I received this note about him from the president of the branch where he labored. "We have known Elder Labanora since he arrived 6 months ago. In the short time he has been here, he has baptized 9 people. Because you knew him before, I share a little experience. We were visiting one of our sick members in the hospital. In the ward of about 20 people, there was a 3-year-old boy whose mother had abandoned him when he was born. He has had no one to love him. The child was playing in his crib and needed his nose wiped. So Elder Labanora wiped his nose with the tenderness of a real father, held him in his arms for a minute, kissed him, and put him gently back in bed. The expression on the child's face was a mixture of surprise and security. We believe this young man is the greatest missionary we have seen. What a blessing he is to our mission and branch." It is a further evidence of faith to note that President Labanora, the father who prayed that they could rear their sons to serve, has since sent his second son into the mission field. Now, brothers and sisters, we face another challenge: to become missionaries. We have not been as successful in doing this as we have been in providing missionaries. This is an opportunity for all of us to exercise this second kind of faith. We need to set personal and family goals. Make the achievement of these goals a matter of earnest prayer. Exercise our faith in God and cause success to come. 18 months ago, President Kimball said, In our stake and district missionary work, we have hardly scratched the surface. I believe the time has come when we must change our sights and raise our goals. Stake missionary work is a great sleeping giant, but it is beginning to stir. We now expect all stake presidents to give greater attention to this work, to do three things. Develop stake goals. See that your 70s are organized correctly and functioning properly in order to assist every family to share the gospel with another. In this work, every member must lengthen his stride, as we heard described so beautifully this morning about our leader. There is a place for everyone in the church to serve as a missionary, either at home or abroad, for people on this side of the veil or on the other. 18 months ago, one man expressed his faith that missionary work would be improved, become more efficient and more productive. At that time, it seemed impossible. Immediately, however, his counselors joined their faith with his faith, and it was trebled. Then the 12 joined with them, and church leaders and many members have compounded that faith again and again. Faith called forth faith, and a mighty work moves forward. Our salvation and the salvation of all of our Father's children will be determined by our obedience to the counsel of a living prophet. May we arise and exercise greater faith in God, for I bear witness that this work is true and that President Kimball is a living prophet. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.